Take a quick second here to introduce Pastor Milton Resch. Milton has been a friend of mine since the early 80s. Met through a common friend, Jerry Jolly. Some of you may have remembered Jerry. He had passed away, gone to be with the Lord.
Infamous.
And he's pastored about every church I know in the Downriver area, southwest Detroit. Now, you went to high school where? Cooley? He was Cooley guy. He's Cooley. C-O-O-L-E-Y, Cooley, Cooley, Cooley High. But he's going to be sharing the entire month at the morning Bible study for us, doing what's so terrible about the parables, and when he's done preaching, you'll know why. So let's take a second and pray for him, and just ask God to bless this time. Amen. Father, we give you thanks, first of all, for the food that we receive. But Lord, we come with hearts full of anticipation for the teaching here today. Lord, we're just not satisfied with physical food, but we do ask for the physical food, the breaking of your word. So we pray for our brother Milton, Lord, that you would bless him and you would use him powerfully to bring forth your word here today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's my privilege to be here. And I just thankful for the opportunity to share the Word of God. How many of us here are standing on the Word of God? Well, get off of it and start reading it. But as Pastor Don said, we've known each other for a good 30-some-odd years, mostly odd, and it's been just an honor for me to come here and be able to share with you about what's so terrible about the parables. And as in the handouts you have, one of the things, at least one-third of the teaching of Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels, and you know what synoptic means?
Well, it's a country in the Middle East, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right between Egypt and where the heck are we? Means combined, you know, put together, that they're similar. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar. And they're called the Synoptic Gospels. I remember when I was attempting to be ordained in a certain denomination, Presbyterians, and they asked me to write a paper on a synoptic problem, and I said I didn't even know he was sick. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke are basically from the same source. And there's very many, a lot of things in common with those three. John has a particular slant on things. But the Synoptic Gospels, one-third of the teaching of Jesus are in parables. And a lot of people believe that many of the teachings of the parables was the reason why he ended up being crucified. Because it exposed the phony religious people of the day. Of course, we don't have any of those today. But some people, one person came out to me and said, man, I don't go to church, there's too many hypocrites. I said, hey, one more ain't going to hurt. But parables, as defined easily, would be a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. It's the word parable means to lay aside. You have a story that brings about heavenly things. Crazy, you know, just like these, what we're going to be reading today. The salt of the earth, light of the world. Those are parables. They're laying aside. They're putting salt, that the believer is salt. They're laying both those aside. That the believer is light. So they're laying something down. It's nothing new to Judaism. There was rabbis during the time of Jesus who taught in parables also. Aristotle, Socrates, all these guys, they taught in parables. They were nothing new. But Jesus' parables were about the kingdom of God. What a believer. I don't even use the word Christian. I'm sorry, maybe you still do. I know it's in the title of your church name, but...
Thank you. Coming in here, it's all
good. Yeah. Hey, why wait till the last minute?
Yeah.
Why hide anything? No, I'm of Jewish descent, and I grew up in a quote unquote Christian neighborhood, and used to get chased home from school because when they found out I was Jewish, called names. This one guy used to sing this song to me: "All you kikadikels, get on your motorcycles and ride to Palestine." And
I think they chased you because you're singing.
All right, maybe I should try dancing. Yeah. But so the church, when I hear the word church, it kind of just, and Christian, I consider myself a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple of His. The disciple means learner, someone who learns. That's why we're allegedly here today, is to learn, is to want to grow. That's what it's about. So in using the word, Christian, is found, I think, in the New Testament three times, where the word disciple or discipleship is found almost 200 times. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And, I follow Yeshua. Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. You like that Hebrew stuff?
Yeah.
That's all I know. I'm sorry. No. But that's who we follow. So for me, the word Christian just has all kinds of negative connotations to it. Also, there's all kinds of people who claim to be Christians, and they're not. It's easy to, to claim that. So I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. No, I didn't. I'm not worried. No, I'm not bothered by that.
We're used to it.
Yeah, right. I know. Don and John, it's no wonder. But I want us to hear what Jesus has to say. That's the bottom line. I want to be known as a red letter man, living on the words of Jesus. That's where it's at for me. It's the Gospels, the good news. That's where it's at. And Jesus, in the third, like I said, of the Synoptic Gospels, uses parables. In fact, he says to understand the kingdom of God is Jesus taught in parables, so that we would seek, that we would dig into the Scriptures, that we would be ones who, use the word of God for our profit, for our uplifting, for our encouragement, for sometimes it's the word of God is like it comforts the hurting and it hurts the comfortable. And so Jesus is teaching in these words. You ever hear the expression? I'm sure you have. About housing industry, buying a house, they say it's three things: location, location, location. Well, the same thing about Scripture. It's context, context, context. Like the teaching here about the salt and the light. There's something before it and something after it. Actually, this teaching is like being the salt and being light is like a bridge between the Beatitudes and then the commandments that follow. It's about context. It's like what when you're reading the Bible, just don't take a little text and then pull it out. It's what is before it and what is after it. What is the context of the Scripture? I'm telling you, that's where, when that doesn't happen, that's where cults start. They pull a Scripture out and, run with it. They make a hobby horse out of it. And they ride it. I don't know how many people watched that thing about David Koresh the other day.
Waco?
Yeah, Wacko, yeah.
Lomo would watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy ran with the Scripture in Revelation and just took off with it. And just was so cultish. But this is a bridge. between the Beatitudes. You know, there's Moses said to do is to be, and Jesus said to be is to do, and Sinatra said doobie doobie doo. Jesus is talking about being salt and being light. Let's look at that text, if you have your Bibles. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Because as we read this, you've got to realize that Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. In order, the Beatitudes tell us how to be salt and how to be light. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, so they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, and your conduct is the way the Beatitudes teach us, we are going to be salt and light in the world. You dig that? You understand that? These are the qualities in order to be salt and light. And if we live that way as peacemakers and people of mercy, we are going to be persecuted because of it. And that's what Jesus is referring to, about how salt can lose its saltiness and how we can put our light under, you know, put a bushel over it and cover it. Jesus didn't call us salt and light so that you could go out and buy a cover over your you know, there's no such thing as being a secret disciple. So Jesus tells you are the salt of the earth. Interesting thing. Judaism at that particular time and before it, why Jonah got in trouble. Jonah says, I don't want to go to those people. They're a pack of, in the Yiddish, goyim, Gentiles. We don't want to go there. We want to keep this to ourselves. So Jonah goes in the wrong direction. And how many people are going in the wrong direction? God calls us to be salt of the earth, and we want to be unsalty. He calls us to be the light of the world, and we want to cover it up. So Jesus, in that time, you know, if you live, in fact, isn't it interesting that Jesus called 12 disciples and 11 of them were from Galilee? And Galilee was like being a hick from the sticks. They were called the Galilee of the Gentiles because there were some Gentiles that lived in Galilee and living in Judah. Oh yeah, you were refined. But yet Jesus calls 11 other disciples out of Galilee, and you know who the one guy from Judah is? Judas. See, God has this way of using nobodies. You know, I'm okay with being a nobody in the world. That I want to be a name, I want to be a voice before people and a name before God. Too many believers and preachers want to be a name before the world. They want to be famous. And as soon as you go that route, yeah. You know, I watch Christian TV just to see how the other half lives. I'm sorry. I just can't go there. I get angry because they spend half the time asking for money so they can support their ministry. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're doing the will of God, you don't have to be begging for money. Any church that I had pastored, a couple got ran out of, that I told them, Pastor, we're kind of short on funds. I said, we're not going to go. If we got to ask for money, we'll close the doors first. Because that shows that we're not seeking first the kingdom of God. Let me not get off on that rabbit trail. But anyway, you are the salt of the earth. He says you are the earth. He just didn't say you are the salt of Israel. He says the earth. Because later on he says go preach the gospel to every living creature. to everyone, to all the nations. So he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and gives it light to all who are in the house? Let your light shine before men in such a way that may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Okay, before I go any further, is there any questions? The only stupid question is the one I can't answer.
I would like to make a fast comment.
Yes.
Where it says trampled underfoot.
Yes.
Traditionally at that time, salt, even after it lost its saltiness, it would kill anything. You
couldn't grow. Right, exactly.
So they would take it out in cities, the larger cities or any place that had a road, and they would actually throw it on the road and over trampled down. Some of those roads had like an inch of salt, and it was just like asphalt is.
Right.
But that's where you got the saying trampled by feet.
Right, exactly. Yes, and if they wanted to kill a field, they would throw it, the salt. Yep. But see, for salt, it's interesting. You know, I ain't no scientist, obviously. But salt, sodium chloride, cannot lose its saltiness. But they would get their salt from the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, it caused it to have some kind of seepage that would make it insipid. I learned that word the other day. Don't ask me what it means. But it would lose its saltiness. And once salt loses its saltiness, it's worthless. So what is Jesus saying? He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if you lose your saltiness, if you lose your discipleship, if you lose your hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you lose your desire to be the part of the meek of the earth, you know, meek doesn't mean weak. If you lose your desire to seek after God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, the great Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. Now, what does that mean? It means every core of your being, that you walk out of this building following Jesus, that you don't get in your car and start swearing at your kids and calling your wife names and so on and so forth. I mean, I had a guy who went to church. As soon as he left, he went to the party store and bought a bottle of wine. And he wasn't doing it for communion. So when we lose salt, what is the purpose of salt? What do you use it for?
Flavor to your food.
Yeah, flavor to your food. We are to add flavor to this world. We are to be the salt. You know what? If Jesus was to come today and take the true church, and I don't know whether you believe in the rapture, the rupture, or whatever, that if Jesus was to take all the believers off the face of the earth, this world would go. You think it's nuts now. You ain't seen, in the words of Bachman Turner Overdrive, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing. This world would go totally bonkers. They would destroy themselves. Because we are the salt of the earth. We add flavor to the world. Salt is a preservative. Back then, there was no refrigerators, no, places where you can, you got a freezer down the basement so you can throw your meat, extra meat or whatever down there. But it was a preserve. That's what I'm talking about. We are to be salt in the world. Being salt means that we are fully committed to Jesus. It's about total commitment. You know, it's not a Sunday go to church thing. It's not a part-time thing. That's what I learned when I first started, because I was so turned off to quote-unquote Christians that I was sitting in the park one day. I just came. I'm a Vietnam vet, and I'm a Woodstock vet.
Amen, brother.
Far out, man.
Yeah, right.
That's right. I need, you know. So, I, you know, came back from Vietnam. I said, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep. My motto was, get high and be somebody. And my drug of choice was methadrine, you know, amphetamines. And, my motto was early to bed, early to rise, means there's no speed in town. Because I used to stay up a couple days at a time on methadrine. But, so I'm sitting in the park. We called it, it was in Northwest Detroit, called the People's Park. We claimed it for the people. It was at Puritan and in Oakville. I think that was the name. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And so here comes this guy in this army uniform, khakis, with a couple friends of mine. And I thought these, back in the hippie days, when people would disappear, we either believed two things. One, they went to San Francisco. Or Los Angeles. Or they OD'd. So here comes this friend of mine.
It could be both.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're the living dead. Yeah. And they come to this park. And I thought, hey, and his nickname was Smiling Dog. You know, back those days, a lot of guys would give themselves blues names. And it was a guy I went to high school with. I said, hey, man, I thought you were dead. And so we were sitting there smoking a joint, and this guy says, talking about Jesus. And I go, far out, man. That's really good, man. You want to hit on a joint? He goes, no, thanks. What controls the mind controls the body. Man, that's heavy.
How about you, Bob?
You're demented like I am, I guess.
Yes. Yes. You're not alone, brother.
That's right. Praise God. So here these guys come sharing Jesus with me, and I'm thinking, this is like totally out of my concept because I thought Jesus was some dude lived in the church and set on Christians to go beat up Jews. Honestly, that's what I thought because that's what happened to me. That was my experience. And despite all of that, God was able to overcome that in my life so that I was open to hear the gospel. And I remember we went in, so I went with them. They were going to go visit this guy named Roger Goodtime. That was obvious. I never knew. And never did know what his last name was.
We're bringing up my hat.
It's all coming out. What's hidden in darkness will be revealed.
Didn't he play for the Buffalo Sabres, Andrew? So they were going to go visit him. His mind got froze on LSD. That's what my Jewish people and my family thought that would happen to me. When I went to Vietnam, my mind froze on acid. Because I was following Jesus, which was totally contradictory to everything that they believed. I mean, and when we're the salt of the earth, that's what happens. You know, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be disliked. We're going to be hated. See, that's what stops us from being the salt of the earth, because we're worried about what everybody else thinks, instead of worrying about what God thinks. And so I went with them in their van, and I knew everybody in the van. There was people that I used to get high with, I went to high school with. We got in this van, it was about 95 degrees out, and there's no air conditioning in this thing, and the sun was going through the windows, and you touched the metal on the, and your hands were burning. And so there's this girl right next to me, her name was Paula Bangus, and they all had their heads bowed. I says, hey, Paula, what's happening? I mean, this is the way my mind thought. What's wrong with you, Paula? You take some bad dope? I mean, that's where I was at. I mean, everything related. Every song was about dope. Every song was about whatever drug I was taking. And but they were all pranked for me, because I was the only unbeliever in the car. And their prayers were answered. And I came to know Jesus at a home Bible study. I wouldn't go to church. First 2.5 years of my life, I didn't go to church. But I had, I was part of the Jesus Freak revival. And we had home meetings every night. People were getting saved. Because we were being the salt of the earth. I was a believer for 3 weeks. And this home where we met every night, we call for prayer and fasting. I go, what's prayer and fasting? What does it mean? You got to pray real fast? I mean. So anyway, we're praying, and we heard that I was on Halloween night, and there was a satanic rock concert at the Olympia. You remember the Olympia, it's where the Red Wings and the Pistons used to play. And, Pink Floyd was there in the early days, and Red Crimson or whatever. And my wife, who was not my wife at the time, I didn't even know her, she was there. And said it was just, the lighting went out a couple times, and all kinds of, the whole thing was a disaster. So anyway, we're praying. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. It's a carload of freaks, hippies. They showed up at the door. That's what they used to call them, freaks. Or what they called us. And we were right off of Grand River. Grand River and Hubble, which is between Schaefer and Greenfield. And he says, we were driving down the street, and our steering wheel pulled, the driver was saying, and we pulled in front of your house. Something just told us to come into this house because we saw the light. Saw the light. Be the light of the world. And we don't know why we're here. Every one of them came to know Jesus and flushed their drugs down the toilet. 15 minutes later, same thing happened. Same thing. Because we were attempting, far from perfect, but we are being the light of the world. We are being the salt of the earth. You don't hide the light under the bushel. How are you in your life hiding your life under the bushel? Are you afraid to let other people know that you're a follower of Jesus? Without those people coming to talk to me about Jesus, how in the world was I going to come to know Jesus? God uses imperfect people like us. God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Not many of us are rich or famous, but God uses those kind of people throughout the Bible. You look through the Bible, the midwives who saved the male children, and no name. They had no name. The maiden who told Naaman about the prophet in Israel. She didn't have a name. The small people of this world, like Zacchaeus, who went up on the tree, and then he was so convicted, Zacchaeus was given a salvation message by Jesus, and when they dimmed the lights and played the organ, he came forward and asked Jesus into his life. Isn't that how it's done? That's not how I came to the Lord. The light was shining. This guy was preaching the gospel at this house. The light was shining so bright on me that I ran out the door, went to my car, and this buddy of mine followed me out. And he says, Melton, have you ever prayed and asked, would you ask Jesus? I says, the only time I prayed was when I was in Vietnam. And I said, Lord, get me out of this one. Me and you are going to be A number one tight. Guess who kept their end of the bargain? It certainly wasn't me. Because I went out and got high and tried to be somebody. Even in Nam. So, the light was shining. The light shined. God used these people, these group of nobodies. Because they let their light shine. They didn't hide it under a bushel. My friend of mine, there's this place called Headquarters. It was at Schaefer and Finkel. It was a restaurant. One day I was sitting in there, I had my army jacket on, and I was putzing around on this wheelchair. three detectives came in. And he said, "You guys sell more dope in here than you do food." And so they started searching everybody except me because I was in the wheelchair, had my army jacket on. They thought I was crippled mentally, but not physically. And so they left me alone. I mean, a friend of mine went into this restaurant and rebuked everybody. Told them about, he stood up when the place was crowded and told everybody about the Lord. 2 days later, we were having the Bible study and he was teaching. These guys came in the door and started beating the living stuff out of him. Because he was a light. He was a light. He was the salt. The salt of the earth. Salt makes people thirsty. Are you making people thirsty for Jesus? Do they see something in you that they don't have? And that's what happened to me. I saw in these people at this Jesus freak house, who eventually I did move in with them. At one time, we got another place. Just all kinds of miracles happened back then. And they can't, you know, God's going to pour out a spirit real soon here. And but we went to, there was 27 of us living together. Girls had their own place, men, married couples. We had meetings every night. People were getting saved every night. We had baptisms on Saturday. It was 10 to 15 people who were getting baptized every weekend, every Saturday. And it was just part of God's move because people were being salt. They were being light in the world. They had, those people had something that I didn't have. That's what we're to be. We're to be that salt. We're to be that light in the world. Anything? Any questions?
Yeah, question.
Sure.
Yeah, you say that when you have time, you heard the word Christian, you go, ooh, you get a shiver. I'm proud to be a Christian. You know, you say you follow the word of God. So if somebody asked me, well, what denomination are you? Are you, you believe in God? So I shouldn't say, well, I'm a Christian. No, I'm a follower of God. Is that, and all these people who are saving. Is you're trying to say that Christians and Jewish and Protestant, that's all it is, just a name? It doesn't mean nothing? That you're trying to implicate?
Yeah, that's what, you know, you're right. I mean, just that. You know, they take these surveys, and how many people claim to be Christians in the United States?
Yep.
Come on, man. I don't see it. I'm sorry. I hate to be critical, judgmental, but, I'm just telling, I've been following Jesus. You know, I asked Jesus in my life October 10th, 1969. Came back from Woodstock, totally looking for that Nirvana experience, and not the singing group, but was totally disappointed, totally bummed out. I mean, where is it? You know, it's like you two sings. I haven't found what I'm searching for. But when I came to this, when Jesus came to me, and people I saw were walking in the light. And like when that guy was preaching, he was teaching out of Acts chapter 2, you know, in the last days. I says, Acts, man, these Christians, man, whatever they are, they're pretty violent. Acts? I was thinking like, I mean, I knew nothing about the New Testament. Come on, man, I didn't even know it existed. And so. But honestly, it was like those of us who are old enough to remember, my mom used to give me a quarter to go to the show at the Westtown Theater at Finkel in Wyoming. That's when I went to. And I would stay, you know, just stay all day. Because when I went outside, it was still light out because my eyes got used to the dark. That when I went into the light, it was like a blinding. And that's what came into my mind when this guy was teaching. It was like this blinding light, and I couldn't take it. I had to run. I had to go back into the darkness. And that's what the temptation is for. I mean, and so, and we very rarely use the word Christian. It was just, it was a counterculture. Because I remember we were in the park one day on a Sunday morning, and there was this denomination I'm not going to mention, Methodist, and we tried to, hey, let's go to church. So we walked, and we were going to go there to laugh, and we just wanted to go. They wouldn't let us in. Wouldn't let us in. So that's what I mean, give me a break. Come on, you claim to be Christians? And this is how you treat people that are different than you are? Come on. That's what's, they say the most segregated hour in America is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And to me, that's just me. I'm not saying it's right. But for me, Christian just had, what is, it's a nebulous term in my mind in the United States. But if you say, tell somebody you're a follower of Jesus, that to me, that means something. That I'm a disciple of the Messiah, that means something. Because people, people that belong to sects call themselves Christians. Yep. The New Agers. Yep. The church for the day after tomorrow and all those, what do they say about Christian scientists? They're neither Christians or scientists. and if I have offended anybody, honestly, I'm truly sorry. But that's just, because I'm coming from, and praise God, we're all coming from different places, aren't? And that's blessed. But from my perspective, my treatment by so-called Christians was a very negative one. But by disciples of Jesus who welcomed me, no matter what I looked like. Yeah, and so that's because those people were being salt. Those people were being light. Jesus said, and we'll kind of, I know we're about ready to wrap it up here. Next week we're going to try to do the parable of the sower. Or some call it the parable of the hearers, Matthew chapter 13. So if you want to read ahead, Matthew 13. But it's interesting. Jesus says, let your light shine that it may glorify in such a way that it may see your good works and glorify our Father's in heaven. When we let our light shine, we let it shine because all we are is like the moon. We are the reflections of the sun of God. We don't have a light unto ourselves. We are in darkness. But we are to let our light shine. But Matthew chapter 6 tells, don't be practicing your righteousness before men in order to get their praise. That's not what he's talking about here. There are a lot of people, it's like people like a 10% glory cut. Yeah, praise God. thank you, Pastor, for teaching today. Praise God. Give me a 10% glory cut, and we're down. I'm down with that. 5%. You got to start somewhere. And he says, "You are the light of the world." He says, he doesn't say you could be the light of the world. Or you would be the light of the world, or you should be the light of the world, but you are the light of the world. You already are. This is a commissioning. This is a commissioning service. Everyone in this room who claims the name of Jesus, you are the salt of the earth, whether you like it or not. You are the light of the world. God commissions you this day, if you haven't already heard it. We are all ministers. There's no such. Show me in the Bible where it says clergy and non-clergy. We're all quote unquote clergy. We're all ordained. Jesus says in John 15:16, "I chose you. You did not choose me, and I have ordained you to go out and bear fruit." That's what he says to you, church, today. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness. Because if you lose your saltiness, you're worthless. You're not good for the body, and you're not even good for the world. You're good to be trampled on. So be lights. Be salt. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Give him a hand. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for you always send the right man with the right word at the right time, Father God. Father, we just pray a blessing on him, Father God, and on ourselves, Father God. Lord, for the next 3 weeks, Father God, just give us the strength to open our eyes and ears, Father God, and mostly to walk out what we're learning here, Father. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,